Acts chapter 20, and we shall read again from verse 24. But none of these things, that these threats that are dangers that awaited him in Jerusalem, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Particularly these words, that I might finish my course with joy. Now, this time of year, it is a time when surely most of us look at the course of our lives. We ask ourselves, well, where am I in my journey, in my pilgrimage in this world? How far on am I? And all with the realization that time seems to be accelerating. And each new year seems to come closer than the one before. Nevertheless, we don't like to think about the end of our lives. But the Bible puts a lot of emphasis on preparing for the end. Paul here speaks about finishing his course. He uses the same kind of language in Timothy, in his writing to Timothy, about their having fought a good fight and having finished his course. Now, what does he mean? He means, of course, the course of his life. Now, he understands that, obviously, as something which is mapped out for him by God. Now, the word itself, the word course here, has perhaps a different meaning from the way that we usually use it. The word course is very common in employment today because everybody seems to be learning so many new things and so many courses being provided for employees. And these courses, they have a certain program, a certain length, and when you're on the course, you know where you are, you know how much time you have spent, you know how much time before the end of the course, you know exactly when that course is going to end, and you know pretty well what it is going to contain. Now, the word itself here has a particular reference to the orbit of heavenly bodies, the orbits of the planets, for example. And perhaps that idea is more helpful to us, that we are on an orbit. We have one orbit, one circle to make. I know the planets, they repeat their orbits, but some of them have very, very long orbits. Perhaps some of them haven't even finished their first orbit. But the thing about it is that it's all set for them. It is all set by God. And our lives are a course set for us by God. But the problem with us is that we do not know where we are on that course. Some of us may have reason to think that we're very early in that course. Others may have reason to think that they are very far on in the course and don't have much time left. And yet that person who thinks that they have much time left might well depart this life before the one who thinks they have very little time left. We just don't know. We don't know where we are on the course of our lives. But we do know this, that it is all set for us by God. That's why Paul uses this word. I have finished my course, he says in Timothy. Here he says that his great desire is that he would finish his course with joy. This is very, very important for us to believe that there is a course set for us by God in this world. But it is also very important for us to seek that we might finish this course with joy, that we can approach its end with joy, that we can, no matter what the agonies may be towards the end, that we might finish it with joy, with a joy which is altogether unaffected by the agonies which we suffer. That joy is, of course, the joy of anticipation. The joy of anticipating what is on the other side of that line once we cross it. And that's the most important thing of all. For you or I or anybody else, when we think about that line at the end of life, the important thing is, what is on the other side for us? For those who know what is there, and who know that for them there is the warm and gracious embrace and welcome of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will be with them forevermore. For them, if that is what's on their mind, then they are going to look forward to the end with joy. Here is Paul facing, he didn't know what, perhaps even facing martyrdom. He could easily have been facing martyrdom at this time when he went up to Jerusalem. And there were warnings given to him as to what might happen, some even advising him against it. But he is determined to go, come what may, even if it means the loss of his life, that, he says, I might finish my course with joy. It is as if Paul looks on it as a particular joy to anticipate that he might give his life in the moment of death for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of his ministry, and for the sake of his testimony. As he says here, the ministry which I received of the Lord, and to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, this idea of having our course set for us is not something that we should abuse. And it is something that is easily abused. Unbelievers might say, and we've heard this, they might say, well, if it's all set out for me, what does it matter what I do? And they make this an excuse for all kinds of things, like not seeking the Lord. They even might make it an excuse for sin. That is, eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But that is a serious abuse of what God has told us. The way we should look upon it is, well, there is a course set for me, and it has an end. And it is my responsibility during this time that I have in this life, during this time of opportunity, it is my responsibility to see that I finish well, that I finish with joy, and that I will not be afraid of what is on the other side. Now, notice first of all that Paul says, not that I might finish the course. It's not that. It says that I might finish my course. Each person has a course which is theirs and theirs only. And it is set out for them by God. Not a plan which God has, which He superimposes upon the other events of our lives. You can easily think that. That there are the events of our lives, but God interferes to some extent. He intrudes and He impresses or imposes upon these events something of His own will. That's just not enough. Our course is in its entirety set for us by God. And it is individual, personal, for each person. But oh, how can God do that? How can He map out all the detail of every single person in the world without any difficulty? Because He is God. He can take that all in without even the difficulty that you and I have over taking in the course of our own lives. He sets it out. And that means certain things. It means that it is because it is our course. We cannot say, okay, I'll leave it to God. He has decided it, and I leave it with Him. No. We have to run this course, and we have to finish it because it is my course. Paul said that I might finish my course with joy. That is just so important that each one of us takes to heart that there is a course which is ours and ours only, set for us, set out for us by God. Not fatalism. They say what will be, but to run this course, and to run it well, and to finish it well. It is knowing that there is a higher hand in my life. It is knowing that my life doesn't hang by my own correctness and by how well I order events, but that it hangs and that it exists in the power and in the palm of God. Can we say this? My life, my course, although it is mine, it is for me all about God. It is for me a finding out of what God has in store for me. But as well as saying, my course is all about God, it also means that we have to say, My course is all about me. Because God holds every person responsible for their own lives. It is all about God. It is all about me. That applies always in what we sometimes call the balance, I don't like the word, between God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Now you think it is part of one, part of the other, or mostly one and mostly the other. That's not the way it is at all. It is 100% God and His sovereignty, but also 100% man and his responsibility. The two things do not clash. So it is my course. Secondly, it is properly used by the believer. It is a source of great comfort. When the going gets difficult, circumstances take a turn for the worse. Unexpected things happen. Unexpected losses happen. And unexpected things happen even to the young. And sometimes the young have their lives taken away from them quite unexpectedly. We've seen so many instances of that recently. It's as if God is reminding us, and reminding the young especially, that they cannot assume that the life is going to go on for the allotted span or anything like that. But it is a comfort to know that whatever the circumstances are, whatever the afflictions, whatever the losses or the heartbreaks, that there is this great comfort that the Lord is in it. The Lord is in it. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And when thou passest through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither will the flame kindle upon thee. That's the promise of God. Not that you won't go through the fire, or through the rivers, or through the waters. He doesn't promise that. But he says, when you do go through these things, I will be with you. That is the promise of God. Whatever is in that course, for the believer, there is the certainty, the assurance, that God is in it and that God is with us. It is like a word of warning because it is a course set for us by God. But on the other hand, it is a word of comfort, because we can take comfort that God is in it with us. And that the things that surprise us, the things that bring us heartache, the unexpected things, they are not unexpected to God. That these things were there in His plan and purpose from the beginning. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment of being willing to wait for God. Being willing to wait upon Him as the course of our life unfolds. To be content to rest in God, knowing that the tiller, the rudder of our lives, is in His hand. It is my course, set for me by God. I must run it, and yet I know that God is with me in it, in every part of it. And thirdly, there is a finishing line. Both cases where Paul refers to his course, he refers to the finishing of that course, both here and in the Timothy reference. Now, we do not know when that finishing line will come for any of us. We don't know where we will be. We don't know what the circumstances will be. The one thing we are sure of is that there is such a line, that there is an end to our course. And the Bible exhorts us to think about that finishing line. It says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It is not morbidness. It is not pessimism. It is not just a killjoy thing to think about the end of our lives. It is wisdom, no matter how young or how old. It is wisdom. It is foolishness not to think about our end, because that is what we must aim for. That end will be good for us. What's the use of life if the end is not good? What is the use of life if the end is woe? What's the use of all the enjoyments and achievements if the end, if when we cross the line, it is into eternal woe? How foolish it is when there is open to all of us who will receive it God's gift of salvation, so that we can finish well, finish good, finish our course with joy. God works in this life, in the life of most believers, in a progressive way. And it takes a lot of discernment in ourselves to see that progress. Because we think of progress always in terms of advancement, that we can ourselves perceive and sense. But that is really not the way of God's working. What is progress in holiness? Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I think that it is the lot of the believer that God makes him or her poor in spirit. That does not mean unhappiness. It doesn't mean misery. But it means the greatest happiness, to know that God is doing His work, and that He is stripping us of all our own bigness, of all our own self-reliance, of all our achievements. He's making them more and more to seem nothing, and making us lean more heavily upon Him. A prominent feature of this matter is that as time goes on, we are less fitted for this world. We all want, especially our young people, we want to be well adjusted. Our parents sometimes want us to be well adjusted, especially well adjusted teenagers. That's the almost like the God of this world today. So much emphasis on youth. But what about our children growing up to be good citizens, good husbands, good wives? Even good parents themselves, and even good grandparents. It takes a lot of wisdom to be a good grandparent. That's the thing. And it is not a case of just making sure that as teenagers we are going to be well adjusted. That's just the way of the world. The important thing is that you finish well. And that you aim from an early day, from an early life, that you aim to finish well and to finish with joy. What a wonderful thing. What a possibility is opened up to us in a life which is spent in this darkened world of sin. What a wonderful possibility is opened up to us that we can truly run this race, finish this course, and finish it with joy. As each year goes past, the whole thing accelerates and accelerates. And before we know where we are, it is over. Fourthly, how is it possible? Well, we've touched on some of this. When we think of finishing our course with joy, is it the joy of looking back and looking at a well-ordered life, a successful life, a life perhaps that some people would admire and aspire to? Is that the kind of joy? Absolutely not. It is not a looking back with satisfaction. None of us, no believer, is going to finish his life and look back and say, with satisfaction, I have run a good course. He can say, I have finished my course. No, this joy is ahead. When we finish the course with joy, it is the joy that is ahead of us. It's on the other side of the line. When we pass into the presence of the Lord, that is the joy. Nothing in us, nothing in our lives or in our achievements. These things will mean nothing to you. The important thing is that on the other side of the line, that there is joy. Because there is Jesus and his welcome and his warm embrace. Paul is here facing up to it. He connects his finishing with joy so clearly here with his willingness to give his life in Jerusalem. If he has to. He's quite willing to do that. He doesn't know whether it's going to be required of him. there or not. We know, because we know the history, we know that it was not required of him. But it was a possibility that he would lose his life at the hands of the Jews. But he was connecting that willingness with this. I am willing to do that, he says, that I might finish my course with joy. As if he wanted to die in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. As if he wanted to die as a martyr. The predictions for him were not good. But he did not hold back. Because he says, I do not count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. It's not that even Paul himself was so satisfied with himself, so satisfied with his life, that he was looking back with satisfaction. No, it was all looking forward, that I might finish my course with joy. A new year message. A new year exhortation. Not a morbid exhortation at all. But friends, all of us, let us think about the end. Let us seek that we might finish it well. No matter what is in between, but that we should finish well. Finish our course with joy. The joy of the saved. The joy of the saved. And pass into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Let us pray. Our gracious God, pray that thou would energize us for what remains of our course. That thou wilt, Lord, now prepare us, young and old, and help us, oh help us, Lord, to think about the end and to seek to run this course which thou hast given to us. To run it well and to finish it with joy. Be with us and with all our loved ones. Be with us in all our relaxation during these days. Keep our hearts, keep our spirits, and forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.